does your financial advisor stack up? There is a big, big range of services offered in the sector and the quality of the service itself, too. It can be hard to tell if you're getting what you're paying for. Credo Consulting is a research and consulting firm in financial services, and it conducted a survey to see how many advisors offer different kinds of services. Hugh Murphy is the firm's managing director, and he joins me now. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce.
So this study has a very long name. It's the Advice Services Spectrum Benchmark.
Well,
what does that mean?
That's a good question to begin with. To be perfectly honest, the name of the study is Connecting with Advisors, and it's an exercise that we conduct on a semi-regular basis. A component of that study looks at benchmarks with respect to the different kinds of advice that advisors are offering their clients.
And what did they do with it?
What do they do? What do they?
Yeah, so an advisor would read that and they would say, oh, geez, everybody's doing that and I'm not doing this or I'm doing that. Nobody else is.
Potentially. Absolutely. I mean, financial advisors have different specialties and different strengths and different weaknesses. And obviously, investors and clients in the marketplace have different needs. So it's a matter of looking at this as a financial advisor and saying, am I serving my clients as well as I possibly could? Am I giving them the things that they need?
What I found really helpful was the detail with which you overview the number of different services people could get. Because I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't know. I just go in and talk to the guy or gal once a year and then I leave and don't feel like a total dope. When you look at that list, which are the services provided most frequently?
Which are the services?
Most consistently.
Well, I think most consistently, investment management. In fact, I think I've got the charts sort of sitting here with me. So right at the bottom of the charts is investment management and investment planning. Those are the services that financial advisors claim they offer their clients most frequently.
It's kind of funny to me that that isn't 100%. Isn't that kind of what you do? It's like you go to a doctor and one of the services only 40% of doctors provide checkups.
Okay.
Like,
I'll qualify that by saying the particular chart that you've been looking at and that is actually posted online, you need to interpret it very carefully.
Okay.
If you look at the chart, what you'll see is it's a chart about the frequency with which they provide these kinds of services. And at a certain end of the spectrum, what you'll see is that it is in fact a negligible portion of investors that aren't getting that service to some degree from their advisor.
Tax preparation was a service offered the least, which in some ways isn't surprising because you can go to a tax preparation service at the local mall or you can go to an accountant or whatever. But I was surprised that it wasn't higher in that for most parts of financial services, the strategy for the last 15 years has been share of wallet. Everybody's been trying to, find a way to get your credit card, your mortgage, your investment management, every single thing related to your financial life. That doesn't seem to be so when it comes to the financial advisors community.
Again, if we look at the particular chart that we're looking at here, what you'll see is that financial advisors don't like to spend or don't spend a lot of their time doing tax preparation for their clients. So there's a lot of other things. For that matter, investment management. Tax preparation is something that happens only once a year. So the amount of time that advisors spend offering their clients tax preparation work is going to be relatively negligible. So it's really a matter of interpreting the chart effectively.
One of the things we talk a lot about are different compensation models. Mm-hmm. So fee-based, fee-only, commission-based. What are some things that you would that this survey or others would tell you about the spectrum of services provided based on the compensation model?
I would tell you that investors are particularly ignorant with respect to financial advice compensation models.
Yes,
and that it is absolutely imperative that that investors really really understand how they are paying for their advice, because an advisor has to feed their children. So there is absolutely no investor out there that is not getting – that is not in some respect paying for the guidance that they're getting.
But to my question, do we see that a fee-based advisor provides more of the services on that chart than a commission-based? And that's a total hypothesis on my part in that a lot of the commission-based folks work in branch banking. They might have clients with 50 grand. And at the fee-based level, they might have clients mostly with $1 million. So who cares? Sure, I'll pay for your tax planning because I'm earning a much higher fee in absolute versus in percentage.
You know, to speak to the actual numbers, I'd be pulling them out of thin air. I would suggest, however, that your hypothesis probably does hold water. And if we are, in fact, I will go away and look at this for you, Bruce, to see the degree to which individuals that work on a fee-based model offer that sort of broader range of services. It strikes me that that's probably the case, but I'd be pulling something out of thin
air. Now, you have also done a bunch of research, as everybody in the sector has done, on CRM2. Mm-hmm. One of the very surprising data points that that comes from your firm is the percentage of Canadians who believe that financial advice is free. And I think your report said it went from 67% pre and 62% post. Is that's the right number?
It is.
So I want to ask you how CRM2 is affecting this service spectrum that we're talking about. Have advisors been like, whoa, okay, we got to shift the conversation from fees towards value, and therefore I am going to prepare your taxes, or I am going to, you know, come and shovel your driveway in the winter?
Well, you know, it's a function of it's a variety of different things going on. I think over time, as investors get a better understanding of the cost of advice, those numbers will change. It's really difficult to say, Bruce.
What do you think advisors are looking for, investors are looking for when it comes to seeking financial advisors?
They're looking for someone that can hold their hands really well through an extremely complex environment. They're looking for someone into whose eyes they can look and gain a level of trust. With things like artificial intelligence and predictive modeling coming along and putting extreme pressure on the financial advice industry, ultimately predictive modeling and IA are going to be able to replace a lot of the things that advisors actually offer. And so what financial advisors have to do and what consumers have to do is recognize that this is happening, and they have to focus on the things that financial advisors can do well, which is actually look across the table and say, yeah, I've thought about this. I've thought about your particular and peculiar circumstances, and this is what you need.
Interesting. Hugh Murphy, the managing director of Credo Consulting.